Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. You're listening to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. And joining me to kick off the show this morning, we welcome Dan Walsh, who we're having on the show to give us an insider's look at the weekly Leroy Butler videos at JS Online that we love so much. Because frankly, he was the man behind the camera. Dan, can you tell us a little bit more about your role in the videos? And, well, I suppose, first of all, good morning. We'll introduce you to everyone.
Good morning, Brian. Happy to be here.
Can you tell us about your role in the videos, Dan?
Sure. I mean, it was something that we used to do back almost even with our sports bubbler days. I was really kind of a huge advocate for Sports Bubbler and JS Online to continually do more and more videos. And whether I was trying to have, you know, our beat reporters come in and interview and talk to them. And then it was just sort of a natural progression last season that, you know, we said, you know, Tom Silverstein's going to be working with Leroy. Why don't we bring them in and put them on camera and have them do five questions that way? And then in addition, why don't we offer and try to see if we can have them break down some plays that, you know, from the previous week's game and what might be something to look ahead for too. And it was really kind of a natural progression from where we had started off with our videos. And I mean, people were just eating it up. We would those five questions videos would be darn near 15 minutes long. And in the video business, if you have anything that's longer than 3 minutes, nobody watches it. But we put them up there as a test, you know, to see what people would do. And 90% of the people who watch those videos would stay on until the very last second. It was amazing to us that people were going to be sitting and watching an entire 15-minute video like that. So then we thought, you know, let's add this X's and O's feature, kind of let Leroy shine and sort of break down the plays for the average Joe, to kind of figure out and understand what is going on. And it was really, you know, it really kind of grew from there. And it was really kind of a nice little feature that I was happy to work on. And then this year we were able to upgrade into a fancy new graphics and studio. So it looks like they're in a studio. They're sitting in front of a green screen, if you hadn't figured that part out yet.
I was just going to ask about that. It looks like they're kind of in a football stadium, but where do they actually take place? Where is this filmed at?
We filmed those at the Journal Sentinel building on 3rd and State Street, right across from the Bradley Center downtown. And they usually, Tom and Leroy, come in on Tuesday morning at about 10 a.m., and then we try to have them posted. You know, it ends up taking about 45 minutes because Leroy talks so much in between takes and such that it takes a little bit of time. But it's usually about 45 minutes to an hour we're wrapped, and then we edit and upload, and they're usually ready for the afternoon sometime. I haven't watched this week's episodes yet because I didn't film this week. But I know they're going to start, or hoping to start, taking Twitter questions. So Tom is supposed to be reaching out to the Twitter universe and start requesting, if you have a question for him and Leroy to be asked on, you know, Tuesday morning, send him his questions, and they'll have a Twitter-featured question of the week. So look for Tom to start doing that here in the foreseeable future.
Very good. Sounds good. What's Leroy Butler been like? Is he approachable? Have you gotten a chance to talk to him?
Oh, he's awesome. I was completely blown away. I mean, I expected an ego to become walking through the door. I mean, I'm a Joe nobody sitting there in that room when he first walks in, and he's cool as all get out. And it helped. We always talked college football a lot. You know, him being a Florida State guy, he was there when Nebraska had some issues with them in the early 90s and stuff. And he was just, we would talk garbage back and forth about Florida and Nebraska. And anytime Nebraska would lose, he'd be there on Tuesday morning reminding me of that. Or if Florida State lost, he'd be telling me that. And, you know, he even knew, Nebraska's head coach, Bo Pelini, when he was an assistant coach up in Green Bay. He was, Leroy knew him as well. So he'd always kind of give me little funny side bits about Pelini and other things like that. So, I mean, he's a natural in front of the camera and breaking down plays. I mean, he's just a kind of low-key, you know, jovial type of guy. I can't say anything bad about the man. He was fantastic in my dealings with him.
Do you get the feeling that Butler could be a coach, or is that just not in him? Or, you know, he looks like one when he breaks down film, but maybe that's just because he's a professional football player and we're in awe of all of them. I don't know.
I think if given the opportunity, he would love to coach, but I don't think he necessarily wants to, you know, go to a college or be, you know, a bottom end assistant, you know, for some team. In my mind, I think he wants to be his dream position, and he'll only do this position, and that's, you know, be an assistant coach for the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, I think that's what he's waiting for, you know, whether it be with this regime under McCarthy or if it's 10 years down the line or what. I think in his mind, that's his dream position, and he's not going to take really any other position until he can get an offer from the Green Bay Packers to be an assistant coach.
That is an interesting little bit you said right there. So, Dan,
that's the way I took it away from it during our conversations while we were there.
Very good.
I've been wrong before, and I could be wrong again, but that's what I kind of got from him.
You know, he is very busy right now, obviously, running his own business. He runs a Ford dealership in where is it, Central Wisconsin, Wapaka. So I know he is busy doing that. You know, I'm assuming coaching isn't on his mind right now.
No, he's got plenty on his mind with that and his charity organizations, and I mean he's bouncing around doing a lot of different things via appearances and stuff like that, so he's got enough on his plate already. But I think if, you know, they happen to come calling and say, hey, would you be interested in coaching, I think he would pretty much at that point in time drop everything.
Very good. Dan, we mentioned it briefly before. You used to be the guy behind the now defunct Sports Bubbler at JS Online, which I used to be a part of as well. I thought it was an innovative way to cover Wisconsin sports at the time, but it's gone the way of the dodo bird. Just because this is a topic near and dear to me, from your experience, where is sports blogging headed?
Well, I think it's getting better compared to where it was 3 or 4 years ago. I think, you know, at first it was just sort of, let's have posts that sort of poke fun at different, you know, announcers or, you know, poke fun of different players and things along those lines, and sort of a gotcha mentality sort of thing. And it, you know, sort of brought a unique perspective to something that, you know, the mainstream media and the newspaper writers weren't necessarily covering, for that matter. It was sort of a secondary outlet for fans to sort of get a different perspective on things. And I really think the quality of blogging has really gotten better over the last couple of years. I mean, the standards have just continually been raised over time. And, I mean, I think you see that, you know, Deadspin isn't probably what it once was because they almost got into a tabloid mentality. And I think ones who are doing a smart job and posting relevant content and not, you know, just being jokers all the time, I think in the end they're going to be the ones that are around for a long, long time. And people who are taking initiatives like this Railbird Central, you know, this live radio show, I mean, nobody else is doing stuff like that. So, you know, being on the ground floor and really kind of setting yourself up to do something that nobody else is doing is the really, really the route to go.
What do you think of PocketDoppler.com? You know, they've tried to pick up, you know, and I've, in total disclosure, you know, I've worked with Pocket Doppler in the past, but, you know, they've tried to pick up the torch, I think, from where Sports Bubbler left off, kind of being a total Wisconsin sports blog in general, covering all the, you know, state teams.
Right, and I think Wally and company over there have done a fine job over there. I was happy that someone was willing to try to take what the Daily Drink and the entire site had done, and I was very happy and still very happy with what those guys have done over there. It sort of carried the torch, and I give him credit. He's built a nice little staff of a collection of writers. And, I mean, I think that's what you have to do. You can't just be one guy trying to do something, because if you're trying to have a life remotely in any way, shape, or form, you need to have people helping you out. And Wally's assembled a great little staff over there, and I'm more than happy to help those guys out and, you know, do whatever. But I was very happy with that they've been able to stay successful and keep at it and not, you know, sort of give up frustration-wise after a little while just because, you know, they only have, you know, X amount of readers or something.
Dan,
it's not as glamorous writing as people think.
Dan, I mentioned this in passing, but I, from what I hear, you recently gave up your firstborn daughter to attend Saturday's Nebraska-Wisconsin game.
I don't know about giving. I was actually to get found tickets to the Nebraska-Wisconsin game at a relatively reasonable price. Now I just need to see what time the Brewers play to see if I can do Brewers in the afternoon, and then once that game's over with, get in the car, drive to Madison, and go watch the Nebraska-Wisconsin game. That's going to be the ultimate challenge for me on Saturday.
That is pretty interesting. Of course, the pennant race here, or the race for home field advantage, is coming down to this afternoon. Yet it's still in flux with one game left to play. What are you going to do if there's a night Brewers game on Saturday and a night the Nebraska Wisconsin game is obviously already scheduled, but the Brewers game is not.
Right, and there's still a good chance that Brewers game could be the late game. If they play Arizona, they don't want to put that Arizona game on at 10 a.m. in Phoenix, in that West Coast market. They're going to want that to be the late game. So they very well could move that Brewers game to, you know, an 8 o'clock first pitch to appease the West Coast audience. So if that's the problem, if that's the situation, then it's a no-brainer for me. I'm going to go to Madison for the Nebraska game, because then I can just go to the Brewers game on Sunday, for that matter. So that one's a no-brainer for me. I've been waiting for this Nebraska game for 17 years or so when I first moved to Wisconsin. So I'm ready for that game. If Nebraska doesn't put up a fight, I'm in a world of hurt, because I've been talking a lot of trash for the past 17 years about Nebraska football in this state, and it all might come back to get me come Saturday night, Sunday morning.
Please tell me you're not going to wear one of those ridiculous corn cob things on your head.
No, I refuse to do that. I will be wearing a black shirt, sweatshirt at the game, though. So I will be wearing black, and I will stand out, and it shall be interesting.
So you're following the missive from the athletic department that's encouraging all Nebraska fans to wear black, huh?
Yeah. If Dr. Tom Osborne says to wear black, I wear black. If it had been anybody else, I'd say no. But it was if Tom Osborne says wear black, I wear black.
Dan, I wish you no luck on Saturday, but I do thank you for joining us on the show this morning and talking a little bit about the Packers and Leroy Butler as well.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. I have a little bit of free time now that I'm unemployed and such, but we are...
You're a free agent.
Be a part of this. I'm sorry?
You're a free agent.
I am now a free agent, so I'm enjoying... my free time, and maybe when this conversation's over, I'll go put some pants on.
Dan, thanks so much. Have a good day.
I appreciate it, Brian. Thanks a lot.
Yep, take care.
Bye.
Dan Walsh, formerly of sportsbubbler.com, formerly of the JS Online, and all-around great guy. I know he's going to land on his feet somewhere and do a fantastic job. The guy behind the camera with the Leroy Butler videos talking to us here on Railbird Central. How's everybody else doing this morning? Glad to have you with us on the show here. And, you know, while we're talking about interviews here, I wanted to play this real quickly. We have, of course, Tom Crabtree on the show, Packers tight end Tom Crabtree, live every Monday morning. And, you know, maybe it's just because I'm dense, but I didn't pick up on this when he said it live. But I did pick up on it when I had to listen to it again a second time as I was listening through his interview, getting ready for the Packers Minute today that we'll be putting up on Cheesehead TV a little bit later. But I'm going to play a little soundbite here, and it's only like 10, 15 seconds long, something like that. And this is Tom Crabtree addressing the Soldier Field turf. Of course, you'll remember that piece of metal sticking out of Soldier Field this past Sunday when the Packers played the Bears, and how ridiculous was that? But anyway, I just thought this was real funny. Here is Tom Crabtree addressing the Soldier Field turf in Chicago.
That was unbelievable. I think it was a ref came over the speaker saying there's a dangerous situation on the field or something. I don't know. I didn't know if they were talking about me or what, but
Tom Crabtree, the dangerous situation. I just thought that was hilarious. And like I said, I didn't even pick up. I'm not sure if I heard him correctly or not when we had him on live. But I was cracking up when I had to go listen to that just yesterday. So the dangerous situation. Anyhow, I wanted to talk about a couple issues today. And as usual here at Railbird Central, I leave the link to this morning's Packers Daily Links at Cheesehead TV at the top of the live blog. If you scroll up, I left a link to it. You can open it up. And, you know, this morning's top story, new security measures being introduced at Lambeau Field. The word is they're going to be using metal detecting wands as you enter Lambeau Field, in addition to, if necessary, you know, pat downs, frisks. You know, nothing too invasive, I don't think. But, you know, this is a new measure that's being introduced not only at Lambeau Field, but everywhere in the NFL. And it starts this Sunday for the game against the Broncos for the first time. And Packers are encouraging fans to arrive a little bit earlier than usual. Might take a little bit longer. So that's our lead story today. But what I really wanted to talk about here for next couple minutes was an article, a column written by Cliff Crystal for the Green Bay Press Gazette. You know, used to, now retired, but used to write for the Press Gazette many years ago, and also the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And but anyway, he writes a column occasionally now for the Press Gazette. And I thought today's topic was really interesting about veteran players on the Green Bay Packers and how there's risks involved in playing them. And so what the deal is that he says, you know, guys like Donald Driver, Chad Clifton, Charles Woodson, guys over, you know, I think they're all over 33 years old or 34 years old, he says. And, you know, there's a degree of risk when you're playing guys like that on your roster, guys that perhaps maybe should be replaced by younger people. And his argument is fairly convincing. You know, Donald Driver, starter, Chad Clifton, starter, Charles Woodson, starter, all play prominent roles. And you know, there's younger guys on the team, perhaps, that might be better, you know, at wide receiver. You've seen how good an explosive Randall Cobb could be. You know, maybe it is time for him to start seeing a little bit more playing time than Donald Driver. At offensive tackle, you know, maybe it is time. We saw how good Marshall Newhouse looked this past Sunday. Is it time for him, or perhaps even Derek Sherrod, to be seeing time at left tackle? At cornerback, Charles Woodson plays a lot. But, you know, I'm not saying, you know, this is the guy who was the NFL's Defensive Player of the Year last year. I'm not going to suggest benching him, but, you know, is it time perhaps to move Charles Woodson to safety? Might be the question. So, you know, I just think these are questions to ponder in your head, and I want to expound upon this a little bit because, you know, I do stick up for the Packers a little bit in this, but I just think he brings up a good point. You know, I think the Packers do a pretty good job of limiting these guys' responsibilities. Even though Donald Driver is a starter, he basically is no longer the number two wide receiver on the team. He kind of was the opening game, week one, against the New Orleans Saints. But since that time, the last two games, not only have Donald Driver's catches decreased against the Panthers and the Bears, his snaps have been decreased as well behind Jordy Nelson, who it's, you know, becoming apparent he really is the number two wide receiver of the Green Bay Packers. Whether or not he's in the starting lineup or not, it really doesn't matter. He is still becoming the number two wide receiver for the Packers. I mean, he's faster than Donald Driver and just better. I mean, it's an age thing. I mean, and that's not to say Donald Driver's career is over or should be over. And I suppose the larger point I wanted to make here is that I think there's value in veteran players. I think they bring an influence. I think they bring a locker room presence. I think they're leaders, things like that. You know, that there's reasons to have these guys around. I don't think they should be cut or anything, you know, drastic like that. But, and I do think the Packers do a pretty good job of that. Yes, it's just an honor. You know, they honor Donald Driver by making him the starting wide receiver. You know, it's you know, something he's earned throughout many, many years. And I have no problem with Donald Driver being on the first play of the game and being introduced for pregame introductions and all that. He deserves that. He's earned that. But, you know, I do think the Packers recognize, you know, that's it is time perhaps to be playing younger guys. And they've showed that with Jordy Nelson. Is it time to, you know, decrease Donald Driver snaps even more? You know, put Randall Cobb on the field even more? You know, we'll see as time goes on. Chad Clifton, I mean, I think as long as Chad Clifton plays at the level he's playing at, I think you go with him. It's not like at wide receiver where they kind of shuffle guys, shuttle them in and out of the game. You know, offensive linemen are on the field the whole game, as long as they're healthy. And Chad Clifton has done an adequate job so far. He is no longer at the top of his game. He might be one of the weak links on the offensive line now. But, you know, we've talked about this before. The strong suit of Chad Clifton's game is pass protection. Always has been, always will be. And as long as he's keeping Aaron Rodgers upright, I think he deserves to be out there. You know, that's the way the offensive line works. Now, certainly, but the Packers are well set for the future with Marshall Newhouse and Derek Sherrod. And, you know, only if Chad Clifton were to be injured do I think the Packers actually replace him. So they've got that going there. And then at cornerback with Charles Woodson, you know, like the Packers do, they do limit what they do with him. They realize Charles Woodson's limitations. They realize he doesn't have the speed he once did. Thus, they don't put him out on an island you know, lined up against across the fastest wide receiver from another team, you know, out on the exterior, on the edges of the field, they put him where he is best utilized, and that's against the slot in the nickel. I mean, the Packers, you know, literally, they got to be running their nickel package three quarters of the time this year. I think it really is that much, three quarters of the time. And, you know, that they move Charles Woodson inside, slide him inside, and that's they realize his limitations. They know he's a good tackler. They know he probably doesn't have to get downfield with receivers quite as much. They can use him on the blitz. They do all sorts of things with Charles Woodson where his talents best fit. So the Packers do realize that and use him in the best way possible. Now, the question going forward, I suppose, is does Charles Woodson become a safety? Charles Woodson is, you know, is he like Rod Woodson, the former Steelers cornerback who later moved to safety in his advancing age and became, not only was he a very good NFL cornerback, all pro, he became a fantastic, fantastic safety. And perhaps that window is opening, you know, with Nick Collins being out and, you know, Charlie Peppra being the you know, replacement for this year, and Charlie Peppra struggling a little bit, and the Packers did sort of, in a fashion, make that move this past weekend against the Bears. Charles Woodson was playing safety when they were in the base 3-4, which I think is wise. Once again, they're taking him away from the exterior edges of the field where he might be exposed in one-on-one coverage with a fast wide receiver. So they moved Charles Woodson to safety, and instead it was, you know, Tremont Williams and Sam Shields out on the edges guarding the wideouts, you know, out on the edges, the flankers. So, you know, that's the Packers realize that, and you know, do they do that more going forward? You know, I think you're going to see that a lot more this year as it goes on. You know, you started to see it a little bit against the Bears, and I think you're going to see Charles Woodson at a safety position more and more and more as the season goes on. Not to say he'll be the starter or play there all the time. I think, you know, the Packers use Charlie Peppra in that role, especially in the nickel defense. And, you know, playing him at strong safety and, you know, Morgan Burnett at free and using Charlie Peppra in the box where he belongs. But, you know, I just found this article really interesting that, you know, it's a young man's game in the NFL, as Cliff Crystal says. And he really pointed out the last time the Packers had success in 1996, prior to this current team, the last time they won a Super Bowl, you know, when they beat the Patriots, they had three older guys on the team. He points out Reggie White, you know, all on defense too. Reggie White, Sean Jones, and Eugene Robinson, all older guys, all older than 34, I think. And, you know, they won the Super Bowl with them in 96, but then 97, Sean Jones retired, and Reggie White and Eugene Robinson, although they were there and they were okay, they weren't as effective. And, you know, maybe that was the difference between winning a Super Bowl and not winning a Super Bowl, or just making a Super Bowl and not winning it. So, it's you know, do the Packers learn from that lesson? And so I think they're doing a good job. You know, maybe they just have to do it a little bit more. It's, like I said, it's not, no one is suggesting they cut Donald Driver or anything like that. But maybe, you know, maybe Donald Driver, he's the fourth or fifth wide receiver on this team. Maybe, you know, I don't know. It's just, how do you, when you've seen what Randall Cobb has done this year, how do you keep him off the field? I mean, he is just so explosive. You know, it's tough to do. And not to say there can't be times when they'll use Donald Driver, in certain matchups or certain situations, things like that. Obviously, when they go five wideouts, if they ever do, they haven't done it much this year, but he'd obviously be on the field then. But and far as Charles Woodson, maybe going to that, Charles Woodson at safety even more often. Maybe even when they're in the nickel, maybe, I don't know whether it's, he's a better option there than Charlie Peppera. He just might be. Of course, Sam Shields hasn't exactly been stellar this year. Not that he's been bad, but Sam Shields has been a little bit shaky so far this regular season. Not that, it's early yet, and he might improve, and nobody's giving up on him, but just a note. So, very interesting. Anyhow, it is 9:00. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on Railbird Central this morning. We're going to be wrapping it up. Come back Friday. We'll be airing the interview with Packers defensive end Jarius Wynn. Excited about that. Talking to him after his 2-sack performance. Perhaps the best game of his career? I don't know. We'll ask him on Friday. So we'll be listening to that then here on Railbird Central. And as I say, make sure to come and check out Cheesehead TV all the time. Check out Cheesehead Radio on Thursday night. And again, thanks everyone. For Jamie Jors, our moderator, thank you so much for joining us. Take care, everyone. Thanks to Dan Walsh for joining us today and talking a little Packers. We'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack. Go.